Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into two really monumental figures who completely changed our view of the human mind. Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung.
Absolutely huge figures. And that first meeting they had back in 1907.
Oh, yeah. The story is they talked for something like, what, 12 or 13 hours straight?
Right. Just an incredible immediate connection there. You can picture it.
And Freud, he really saw Jung as the future, didn't he?
He did. Famously called him his eldest son, his crown prince, basically the guy to carry the psychoanalysis torch.
But, well, these things don't always last. So our mission here is to kind of unpack how that powerful partnership eventually broke down.
Mm-hmm. Where did they diverge?
Exactly. We'll look at their, you know, their big ideas, how they thought differently, and what kind of legacy they've left behind.
Yeah, trying to get a handle on what makes each of them still so relevant, but in different ways.
They worked closely for a while. There were hundreds of letters back and forth between about 1906 and 1913.
360 letters, yeah, charting all their ideas. And that trip they took together to the U.S. in 1909.
To Clark University. That really put psychoanalysis on the map in America, didn't it?
It was a pivotal moment, for sure. It helped establish everything over there.
Okay, so the big question, where did it start to go wrong? What was the turning point?
Well, you could say the seeds were maybe there from the start. Freud expected loyalty, a successor following his path.
And Jung was. Well, Jung was young. He had his own ideas brewing.
Precisely. Jung's originality started to clash with that expectation. And when he published Psychology of the Unconscious in 1912, that really marked the split, theoretically speaking.
Right. So let's dig into that. Yeah. The unconscious mind itself, how do they see that differently? That seems key.
Oh, completely key. For Freud, the unconscious was mainly this dark place, a vault for repressed thoughts, desires, especially sexual aggressive drives.
That's the classic Freudian view, yeah. The id, ego, superego structure.
Exactly. The id is pure impulse, wants immediate gratification, totally unconscious. The ego tries to deal with reality, and the superego is like your internalized rules.
Okay, so Freud's unconscious is mostly about stuff we've pushed down. How did Jung see it?
Jung agreed there was a personal unconscious, kind of like Freud's idea, maybe a bit closer to the surface. But his revolutionary idea was the collective unconscious.
This is where it gets really different.
Totally. He saw it as this universal layer inherited by all humans, full of shared experiences, archetypes, things that were never conscious in the first place.
Like a shared human blueprint. Explaining common myths or symbols across cultures.
Exactly that. Think of it like a deep shared mythology. It adds this whole other dimension, maybe even a spiritual one that Freud largely dismissed.
Wow. Okay, so personal versus collective unconscious. That's a huge divide right there.
It really is, and it links directly to another major fight. Yep. Libido.
Right, libido. For Freud, that was pretty straightforward.
For Freud, it was basically sexual energy. Full stop. The driving force behind almost everything. He was quite dogmatic about it.
But Jung disagreed.
Strongly. Jung argued libido was more like a general life force, psychic energy, you know, it could fuel creativity, spirituality, intellect. Sex was just one part of it.
So a much broader definition of fundamental energy.
He's much broader. And this shows up in how they work, too. Freud focused heavily on his patients, clinical observation, dream analysis.
More individual, case study based.
Yeah. Whereas Jung looked wider. He pulled in mythology, religion, anthropology, symbols from all over. Different ways of gathering evidence, you could say.
It really sounds like they just had fundamentally different ways of looking at the world than the mind. Freud the scientist, maybe?
Yeah. Freud the skeptical empiricist, looking at the psyche from the outside, objectively.
And Jung. More philosophical.
Yeah.
Drawing on theology, romanticism.
Exactly. Seeing the psyche from within, embracing spirituality, myth. It was almost inevitable they'd split given that deep philosophical difference.
More than just an academic disagreement.
Oh, yeah. It got personal. Accusations flew. By 1913, the break was complete.
So fast forward to today. What's their lasting impact? Let's start with Freud.
Well, Freud's impact is undeniable, especially culturally. Think about it. Freudian slip, ego, id, repression. These are everyday terms now.
True. And talk therapy itself owes so much to him. His ideas were even foundational for early versions of the DSM, the big diagnostic manual.
Absolutely. But, you know, classical Freudian psychoanalysis, it's criticized now. Hard to test scientifically, less empirical support compared to newer methods.
Okay, so culturally huge, but perhaps less clinical dominance now. What about Jung?
Jung's influence feels like it's actually growing more contemporary in some ways. His idea of individuation.
That lifelong journey towards becoming whole, self-realization.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It really clicks with modern ideas about personal growth and well-being. He saw therapy not just about fixing past wounds like Freud, but as a forward journey, integrating all parts of yourself, even the shadow.
And his personality types, introversion, extroversion, that had a massive impact, right?
Mm-hmm. Huge. Directly influenced things like the Myers-Briggs type indicator, the MBTI, which tons of people encounter.
And clinically. Is Jung's approach holding up?
Actually, yes. Analytical psychology, his method, has gathered quite a bit of empirical support recently. Studies show it helps with long-term improvements in symptoms, personality changes.
That's interesting. So it's proving effective, even cost-effective, according to some research.
It seems so. Now, some of his concepts, like synchronicity, meaningful coincidences, are still debated, maybe a bit ambiguous, and some historical views are problematic. But the therapy itself shows real clinical promise.
So both just giants who reshaped everything. Freud maybe gave us the first map of that hidden inner world.
Yeah, uncovering the unconscious drives, the conflicts.
And Jung perhaps gave us more of a compass for navigating it throughout life, pointing towards wholeness, integration.
That's a great way to put it. Freud dug down, Jung looked up and around, you could say, both vital perspectives.
So maybe the question for you listening is, how can drawing from both of these complex legacies, Freud's map and Jung's compass, help you better understand your own inner world, your own path to growth, something to think about.